It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's been a busy year for churches in Wisconsin, with changes to food assistance benefits, rising health care costs, and a federal crackdown on illegal immigration.
Faith communities report growing calls for help among the people they serve, and many are stepping up to meet local needs in new ways with food pantries, clothing closets, warming shelters, and community dinners.
But some faith leaders say even these increased efforts aren't enough to stem the tide of rising need.
Last week, we brought together a roundtable of Wisconsin faith leaders to reflect on how this year of political and economic change has affected their ministry work.
Reverend Matthew Sauer is pastor of the Manitowoc Cooperative Ministry. Reverend Dr. Charles Thompson is pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in New London. And Reverend Brianna Ilene is the director of Ecumenical Innovation and Justice Initiatives at the Wisconsin Council of Churches. I started by asking Reverend Brianna what she's seeing from her bird's eye view of churches throughout the state.
I think a lot of people are trying to respond to what is happening at the federal level. How is that really impacting people on the ground in their day-to-day lives? Immigration is huge. Many of our churches are asking, how can we care for our immigrant neighbors who are really scared right now? But also hunger. When SNAP benefits were delayed, many churches saw this influx of hunger. They see these people who are really struggling financially. And then on the other end, too, many are seeing the desire to help and trying to figure out, okay, how do we do this with these new arising problems? How can we plug in and respond to what's happening in our communities?
Are there enough volunteers in churches to meet all the different demands for volunteerism?
Yes and no. I think on one hand, many churches are stepping up in new ways. They are excited to respond, to do something new, something different. And then on the other hand, many are stretched thin. Our churches are demographics are growing older. And when you've had a food pantry for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden you have a demand that is twice as high, they don't have the capacity to respond to that. So it's kind of this both yes and no, depending on the context.
Pastor Matt, as we've been talking here about, you know, all of these various needs bubbling up with food and housing insecurity, the cost of health care going up, what are you seeing on the ground in Manitowoc?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been doing a Wednesday night dinner, a free community dinner, that we typically serve around 150. We did see a huge bump a while ago that, was pushing over 200 for several weeks. Now it seems to be pulling back a little bit more. But you had asked about volunteers, and we're in a position where we have a great community network. So our volunteer base is much larger than our congregation base. So on any given night of our ministry, I'm seeing more volunteers than we might have on a Sunday sometimes.
Wow.
But we're also working with homelessness and running a warming shelter. We've seen those needs increase, not so much at the overnight part of the shelter, but just services during the day. People are friendly enough that they can find a couch sometimes, but they still need other services. So it's been taxing. It's been exhausting, because now it's not just a hungry person or someone that needs a bed for the night, but now there's a whole layer of fear and hopelessness. Like, we're never going to get out of this situation now. We're stuck here. And so there's this, the people seem more resolved to accept the brokenness of the system.
Turning to you, Pastor Chuck, can you tell us a bit about your congregation in New London and the food ministry you've been doing in the community?
This is a very resilient congregation. They've been through a flood, a tornado. There was a major split back in 2009, a very resilient bunch. But back in 2009, they were doing a stewardship program through the Synod. The Synod had recommendations about how to reach out to the community. Some of our leaders just talked to people in New London, like Clintonville area, and discovered hunger was a real need. So they originally, 2019, came up the idea, why don't we try to serve two meals a month, a year, that is. But then pandemic hit in early 2020. They came up with the idea, why don't we just try to serve people? They can just drive up. So we call it the grab-and-go meal. So the first one was in May of 2020, and the response was overwhelming. So they thought, gee, maybe we should do this more than twice a year. So then they decided to do it every month, you know, through October. It has grown steadily since. It's gone up 75%, the number of meals we've served since 2021.
Wow.
We started out with serving 136 meals on average, and now we're serving 239 in 2025. So the need has greatly gone up, as you can see, including 15% since last year. So it continues to go up. And so this ministry kind of makes us a little bit unique in the community. There's a lot of churches in New London. Each one does different things. But so this is kind of our part of our identity, I guess, the grab-and-go meals, it's called.
And you greet people who come through to pick up the grab-and-go meals at the church. What kind of stories do you hear?
Yeah, I'm the greeter when cars drive up and they wait in line. It's mostly elderly that we're getting. And many of them live on fixed income, and the cost of living is just going up and up, and they're not keeping up with that. And many of them have medical issues, and due to the healthcare crisis, you know, healthcare is a lot more expensive, so they have less and less money for food. And so at least, you know, once a month we're serving, and we do the last Wednesday of every month, so mm-hmm. at least we can help a little bit with that.
I want to turn back to you, Reverend Brianna Ilene. I mean, you know, we're hearing really powerful stories of churches all over the state stepping up to help with the social safety net gaps that they're seeing in communities. And you've been reflecting, I know, on mutual aid and finding resources from within the community and exchanging them for free. What are you noticing with mutual aid?
Well, one of the things, even more broadly, is just the breakdown of institutions we've been seeing that is causing this need for mutual aid. Earlier this month, when SNAP benefits were delayed, I heard stories of churches who were ready to step up. They had the money, they had the volunteers, they were ready to go, but then they tried to tap into some of the more traditional sources of food through some of our major food banks and food programs that and found that these programs couldn't keep up because they didn't have the staffing or the trucks or the ability to actually source the food. And so it gets down to how do we kind of reach in the margins then? And mutual aid is one of the ways that's a little more informal that allows people to meet needs in our community. And so we have been seeing more and more churches popping up with like they call them little free food pantries or little blessing boxes, which is just a block or a box on the corner, kind of like a little free library, but instead it's got food in it and anyone can drop off and anyone can take and there's no restrictions. And there's even been expanded in Madison and now in Milwaukee, they're doing community fridges.
Yes.
So
yes.
A whole fridge that is set up and people can just come again, drop off extra food or get or take what they need. And this is really, I think, huge, especially for people who maybe can't make it to a pantry on time, people who can't, don't feel safe. Many of our immigrant neighbors, if you can just kind of come even in the middle of the night, grab some food and go, that's a huge way to meet this need. And it's very community focused, usually.
We are talking about how churches in Wisconsin are responding to this economic and political moment and with all the year's changes to things like food benefits and healthcare costs and immigration enforcement. And we have a Reverend Brianna Ilene with the Wisconsin Council of Churches, Pastor Matt Sauer with the Manitowoc Cooperative Ministry, and Pastor Charles Thompson from Trinity Lutheran Church in New London. Pastor Matt, you know, ICE did a raid in Manitowoc in late September, detaining 24 people. How has immigration enforcement affected your congregation and in the broader community?
That's a great question. So personally, I live barely a mile from where the raid actually took place. It was really a park and ride at the Walmart where folks were just getting their carpooling to work. where that took place. So, I mean, it's literally in my backyard. You know, it's about 3 miles from the congregation. So we're affected by it on so many different levels. In the congregation, I think that Sunday following, it was just, there was a little bit of shock and awe. You know, we'd read about these things, of course, but, you know, it's different when it's suddenly in your backyard, in your front yard. So there was a lot of fear, a lot of connections we have with the immigrant communities that live around us. I mean, Manitowoc County is the number one dairy producer in the state. And, you know, a huge percentage of dairy workers are immigrants. And so there were people who were uncomfortable coming to church regardless of their status. There was concern that because of we've had been outspoken about this issue and other issues, that was anyone going to be safe or was our worship time going to be disrupted? We are very conscious of that. We have people worshiping with us that may be on ICE's radar. So we will have folks go out and just check the parking lot to see, do we know the vehicles that are there, or does there seem to be some unknown vehicles there? We have, you know, kind of a plan that, well, what if we just extended the service? What, you know, what would it mean to sing some more hymns, to offer some more prayers? I mean, we realize that technically now that being in worship, it doesn't have to stop somebody. But we're also aware that sometimes the image of raiding a church actively while it's worshiping can also be, you know, turn off. So, you know, so we have some contingencies in place. We've reviewed the site plan of the building, that if some people needed to just be in different parts of the building, where are the least conspicuous parts of the building? You know, where are the different exits on the building? And we do that out of safety for everyone, but also out of compassion, simply because I don't want anyone that comes to worship to be afraid to either come or to leave that building.
Reverend Brianna, I'm wondering, in this moment of more federal immigration crackdown at the Wisconsin Council of Churches, what are you thinking and doing in this moment? And what are you hearing from churches you work with about their concerns?
We are hearing a lot of questions, a lot of people who are wondering how they can help. They see what's happening on the news and wondering what that looks like in their community. And we're also really cognizant that what's happening in larger cities like Chicago or LA or Charlotte is a different context than most of Wisconsin. We've got Milwaukee and maybe Madison, but when you've got these smaller communities, what does it look like to care for our immigrant neighbors there? And so we've just been lifting up a lot of guidance. We've worked with various legal teams to say, this is what kind of you are allowed to do and you aren't allowed to do. Here's some lines. How do you know what your rights are? So we've hosted Know Your Rights trainings for congregations and providing that support. And one of the things I do want to lift up too is, I think there's this image sometimes of, oh, immigrant, or, and Matt talked about so many of our immigrants who keep our, like our farms working and restaurants and all these spaces. We also have a lot of immigrant pastors in Wisconsin. Several of our member denominations have large number of immigrant congregations and immigrant pastors. And so many of them are sitting with this concern to say, well, what happens if all of a sudden we go for an immigration check-in and we are taken away? What happens if we are told to leave the country? What happens to our congregation and these people that we're loving and serving? And all of a sudden they're left without a spiritual leader. And so I think there's just a lot of fear in our communities. And then also just a lot of people asking, what can we do? How do we love? God calls us to love. There are so many scriptures in the Bible about welcoming the stranger, welcoming the immigrant. And so what does it mean to do that? And how do we do that, whether it be through mutual aid and making sure an immigrant family has groceries because they don't feel safe to go to the store, all the way up through going to the Capitol and working on advocacy and seeing if there's legislation we can pass to try to create some more safety in our state.
Pastor Chuck, in New London, when you hear those words, God calls us to love, what is coming up for you?
The two greatest commandments, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And who is our neighbor? Everybody. And so we are seeing a lot of hurting neighbors, especially, with hunger. And that's specifically what we've been trying to help with here in New London. So, yeah, basically, that's it. These are our neighbors, our friends, family, whatever. So that's what comes to my mind.
Pastor Matt, this is also a time of year when there are so many demands on churches, but that there are so many demands on pastors as well. Do you feel your faith gives you additional resources into helping all of these needs, all of these communities around you? How do you persevere?
You know, there's an old saying that preachers ought to preach to themselves before they're preaching to the congregation. I've been recognizing that more and more, that so often the preparation of sermon and Bible study and things like that, I need to hear those words too. I need hope, because in my life, I've been pastoring congregations now for 30 years, and I feel more need for hope now than ever. And so it's not only a community, but I recognize that myself. So I'm drawing on this vision, this ancient vision, and this Advent season is great to talk about the words of the prophet who are putting forth this vision of this is what God's world looks like. Why are we not there? And letting people connect those dots. But I think now more than ever, the human relationships are important, and we've got to build that one-on-one. And so my work has gotten more and more out of the office and more, quote unquote, on the streets, and trying to engage the people where they're at and to let them know that they are being seen. Love, like we said, but love, one of the ways that we express love is through justice. So the resources that I hope I'm bringing to the community, to my own family, is this idea of hope, that there is not just the possibility that things may get better someday, but that things will be better someday. And that's the hope we have to hold out, that each one of us does our part to love our neighbor through loving justice.
Well, Pastor Matt and Pastor Chuck, Reverend Brianna, thank you all so much for sharing in this conversation.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It was a pleasure.
That was Reverend Brianna Ilene with the Wisconsin Council of Churches, Pastor Matthew Sauer with the Manitowoc Cooperative Ministry, and Pastor Charles Thompson from Trinity Lutheran Church in New London. They joined us to talk about how their ministry work has changed this year to meet increased community needs with the rising cost of food and healthcare and the uptick in immigration enforcement.